broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, as we say in Hawaii, you demand. Thank you so much for opening the show for me. It's awesome. We're going to have a partly sunny day today. Windward and Mocha, frequent showers in the morning. Isolated showers in the afternoon. On the leeward side, we'll have some, like on a, you know, town side, Honolulu side. Hopefully our side, because we're in a lovely
drought.
Okay. Scattered showers in the morning, isolated showers in the afternoon, high between 85 and 90, and the winds out of the northeast, 15 to 20 miles per hour. If you want to play tomorrow, partly cloudy is the forecast. Leeward, isolated showers during the day. Windward and Mocha, scattered showers, highs between 85 and 90, lows 71 to 76. Doesn't that sound good? On the Big Island, partly sunny, that is today. Windward side, frequent showers through the day, slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. On the leeward side, more like scattered showers, a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. But locally, heavy rainfall is possible on Hawaii Island, the high between 84 and 89. And again, the winds are out of the northeast, 15 to 20. If you'd like to play around, here there's at Makalei. This is on Hawaii Island. There's an 836, a 940, and a 1010. Jacques and Jill are out on the golf course together. We've got one closure. Poipu Bay is closed. They're renovating the pro shop. They're working on the greens. They reopen on Monday. Kauai Lagoons has a 926 and a 1030. Oahu, Pearl at Kalaau'au, there is a 908, a 1048, an 1128, and the Swingin' Skirts. They're on the course. Hawaii Kai has a 9 o'clock and a 1022 and an 1108. Turtle Bay, the Sand Dollars. They're out there on the golf course. Yes, that's what they call themselves. 836, 920, and 1102 open. Rojo Wine Country Club, 832, 936, 1030. Bayview, we've got a 922, 1130, and a 1030. And Eva Beach has a 906 and a 1008. Now let's go to Maui. Maui, Wailea, Gold Course. By the way, it's the plumbers versus the electricians. That sounds like something I'd really like to watch. Plumbers versus electricians. It's going to be down and dirty. 10:10, there's a tee time. 10:20, there's a tee time. And an 11:30 as well. Emerald Course has a 9:50, a 10:50, an 11:20. The Blue Course has a 9:20, a 9:30, a 10:20. And Maui Nui, there's an 8:48, a 9:26, and a 10:52. And the Car Guys, they're on it. Oh, by the way, for the Fokama'aina rate, because the second day after aeration, it's $75. So that's for Kama'aina. Now, yes, the show today, Michael Patrick Shields is taking us on a tour, a fabulous tour. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional. We're going to learn how to play this game. John Peter Hagen, he's been on the West Coast going to every one of the tournaments, and boy, there have been a lot. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC Golf Channel, he's with us. We're going to talk about, yeah, Century, Maui, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
I'm Danielle Tucker, host of The Golf Club.
Brought to you by the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and great fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teacher gets to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. In Evile, next to Costco Gas, and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui.
The Golf Club.
On 101.1.
Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator, analyst, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, inducted in the year 2000. He heads Rolfing Sports, a sports management and consulting company. He's founder and president of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. This organization focuses on promoting affordable public golf and expanding youth programs in the Chicago Park District's Jackson Park and South Shore golf courses. and he serves as a golf ambassador for MD Anderson Cancer Center, advocating for sun safety, cancer prevention within the golf community. He's host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. You know, and then I had this, and he'll be the lead when the century comes to town in 2026. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark Rolfing.
Well, good morning, Danielle. How are you? It's been quite a week out there, hasn't it? I'm on my way to the Ryder Cup tomorrow in New York, which I really believe is going to be one of the great sporting events of our entire lifetime.
Yes.
So I'm totally looking forward to that, and I'm also looking forward to kind of moving on a little bit mentally from, you know, everything that we've had to deal with the whole century announcement this week.
Yes, absolutely. Now I got to ask you, okay, before we go backwards, let's go forwards. You know, at the Ryder Cup, is the crowd the 13th man in this game?
It could be, but the crowd, New York crowd, can turn on you very quickly. So if you're not performing as the players, And if there's problems out there, I think it could turn very, very fast. So the Americans are going to start with an advantage. But Friday morning, the foursome session is the most important session of the entire Ryder Cup. And if something were to happen and Europe would get out to a fast start, which is what they did in Rome, I think that crowd could turn.
Wow, fickle, huh? Just a little fickle.
Yeah, they're rabid fans, the New York fans, and they love their winners, they hate their losers, they hate their complainers. You know, it's going to be great, and Friday morning is going to be totally chaos. So the President of the United States is going to be there. We saw what happened when he went to the U.S. Open in New York a couple of weeks ago. It was just total chaos, you know, and delayed people getting in, and it was a very difficult situation, so... Friday morning is going to be interesting at the Ryder Cup, and I hope it comes off without a hitch so that the Americans can maintain what I think is a pretty big home field advantage to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And what position are you in?
I'm going to be doing live from the Ryder Cup. Cool. So my first show is on Tuesday. We're on early in the morning out in Hawaii, but these are four-hour days, and we have shows that go, you know, all the way up until the opening ceremonies on Thursday afternoon. So I've got almost 14 hours of live programming without a shot being struck.
Wow.
So there's going to be a lot of speculation, a lot of talk about the pairings and who's doing this and who's doing that. And then starting on Friday, I am with the featured match. So I start doing live golf on Friday.
Woo! Then you're on the course in the midst of it all.
I'm actually going to be in the booth doing the featured match.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I'd be... Wow. Okay. Let's go backwards, but going forwards at the same time. Because in the beginning of the conversation about Kapalua and the condition of the greens and the fairways, it was, we're going to get the water and we're going to be able to water. And then it turned out that they didn't get the water and they weren't able to water. And the PGA Tour came over and inspected and said, you can't play the, no, can't use this golf course. And then Century stepped in and made a wonderful statement because it was like the floor dropped out from underneath us, and certainly under Maui. They have been the recipient of great generosity from Century Insurance, have they not?
Well, they really have. Century has adopted Maui as a connected community, and no matter what happens with the future of this tournament, Century is going to be totally involved on that island for many, many years to come. You know, they are disappointed, obviously, in the decision, as am I. I really don't believe that it had to happen the way it did. I think the whole issue was the uncertainty created for the PGA Tour about whether or not the course would be ready. It was a very uncertain situation. And the PGA Tour just couldn't take the chance, and I understand that. Having said that, I think this issue has been on the table for months and months. This was not just something that all of a sudden popped up in the middle of the summer that we have a drought there.
Mm-hmm.
The drought has been going on for a long time, and I really feel like we could have addressed the situation a little more seriously early on to come up with a solution, and that didn't happen for whatever reason, and so now here we are. I will tell you this, Century feels strongly that they want to have a tournament someplace, and I agree with them because with the way the schedule is working in the world of golf and the way that the global game is changing, you don't want to lose your spot. And I'm really thinking they're going to try to do whatever they can with the PGA Tour to figure out how to have an interim stop this coming January.
So they'd play somewhere, not known yet where, but then they would come back when the conditions were right for the PGA Tour to play at Kapalua.
We all hope so. Look, I can tell you this. This is not going to be the end of big-time professional golf on Maui by any means. It's just too good a place, and there is so much need within the community to have that happen. We've been playing professional golf there since, 1982, so a long, long time. And we've got wonderful venues all over the island, and I'm totally convinced that there will be big-time golf back on Maui. It's just a question of what it is and when. It's going to be a very, very difficult year for a number of the charities. I look at some of them, the smaller charities that I was involved with back in the 80s and 90s, and they relied wholly on this tournament money, for their budget for an entire year. So it's going to be really tough on them, but I really think it's been a great run, and we need to look ahead, not back. There's a lot of blaming and finger pointing and all that going on right now, and none of that is not going to do us any good at all. What's going to do us good is really say to ourselves, we've got to make this happen again. You know, we started it from scratch in 1982. We can do it again.
Yes, yes. You know, that's over. That finger pointing thing, and I don't want to do that. And what I loved was the statement from Century Insurance. Century is not leaving Kapalua. Its sponsored PGA tournament, the Century, will not be held there in January 2026 because of the severe drought conditions and related water conservation efforts. And following the PGA Tour's announcement, Century Insurance released a statement from Stephanie Smith, the Chief Marketing and Brand Officer and Chief Golf Partnership Officer. That statement said, Century expressed support for the PGA Tour's decision, citing challenges from the ongoing drought. They emphasized their connection to the Maui community, stating it remains a Century community, like their hometown. Century's also highlighted their continued support for Maui independently of the tournament's location. Century's title sponsorship agreement and the PGA Tour is in place through 2035. So as you're saying, Mark Rolfing, there are many beautiful golf courses where a tournament could be held. The question is, you know, are they ready? Are they hard enough? Are they tough enough? Do you have any, just guesses or ideas about what is a tough enough golf course?
Well, as of right now, I would say the answer to that question is no. I don't think there's a golf course anywhere in the world, hardly, that could all of a sudden, with 2.5 or 3 months to go, say, oh, we're good enough to host a PGA Tour event. If they had been, that probably would have been a venue for a PGA Tour event. Now, having said that, give a little bit of time to a place to add some length, particularly to some of the great resort courses in Hawaii, that can be done. There's a lot of space on a lot of our courses. The other thing about the PGA Tour that you have to remember is that when we built the Plantation course, and that was in 1987, so a mighty long time ago, we built it for one reason, and one reason only, and that was to host a PGA Tour event. We had been holding an unofficial event for years, but there was the opportunity to get an official PGA Tour event, the Tournament of Champions, and that course was built for it. And half the money, Danielle, half of the money that was spent on the entire construction and everything else of the course was getting it into a condition where there was enough space to host a PGA Tour event. And the big space is just not there at most of our resort courses. So that's where if somebody were to want to host a PGA Tour event, or if, you know, there was some discussion about coming back and playing someplace, I think the facilities would be more important, actually, than the course.
Ah, yes, like facilities including hotels, where the guys could easily be with their families if they wanted, and then get to the course easily, so it wasn't some long commute.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about the hotels as I am. Like, where are you going to put the TV compound? You need acres of acres to put a TV compound someplace.
Wow.
You can't have a situation where you have only one road into a clubhouse and one road out with the kind of, you know, fan base that you're going to have, and just there has to be lots of access in and out for vendors and all kinds of things that just typically a resort course wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And so, but having said that, we've got some great owners of resorts around Hawaii, and I think even in the last week there's been a lot of discussion about, wow, okay, we got to really focus now on the future for golf in Hawaii and where are we headed here, and number one priority is to do whatever we can to make Sony successful and save that event.
Thank you.
And keep that cat event going, and then figure out what are we going to do with the week before Century.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said Sony. I wrote down Sony right where you were. You know, how is Sony going to be able to handle the cost has been kind of split between the two of bringing all the equipment over, at least. That's my impression. What's the status for Sony? Are they going to be able to handle this increase in cost?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
There are going to be some increased costs. And you could possibly see a different way of producing Sony. A lot of the PGA Tour golf now is being produced in Stamford, Connecticut. That's where I go sometimes. I just think that the single most important thing for the Sony situation is to try to get this contract renewed with Sony as the title sponsor, because their contract expires in 3 months.
Oh.
The day after this Sony Open, their contract is done. So it's already late to not have a re-up on that. But, of course, they are concerned with the future and what is going to happen with what has happened at Century.
Yes.
And the reality is that, you know, that is going to have an impact on the Sony field. The single most important thing for us, I think, is that if the first tournament of the year is in Hawaii at Sony, we have to get ourselves prepared for players coming early. They're just going to have taken 4 or 5 weeks off, and they have to get ready. Now, typically, they go to other neighbor islands or Oahu even, but as you know, the practice facilities around Oahu are limited. Hawaii driving range is closed now. You know, lots of people went there.
Yeah.
There just is not a lot of access. And Wailea, typically the members play right up until the Monday of tournament week. And so I think there's going to have to be some flexibility in order to attract some top players to come and make that their first tournament of the year.
Wow. So much is, you know, in the balance. There's a lot to be discussed, and finger pointing and looking back is not something that needs to be done now. It's looking to the future, making good decisions as a group, as a whole, coming together. That needs to be done because, I mean, I was just looking at the numbers. Millions of dollars was generated for Maui, just in general, the businesses, just with the incoming tourist dollars. But the $768,000 or so that Maui charities got from the tournament, that's a huge number, as you were saying earlier. I'd like to kind of cover that a little bit more. $768,000 from Century to the Hawaii charities on Maui.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at some of those smaller charities, like the Maui Junior Golf Association, that's pretty much their entire budget for the year, for the entire year,
yeah.
The money they get from that tournament. So that's going to be extremely difficult. Here's what's important. We have to look at what happened with the water situation on Maui and say we can't do that again, because what happened was a whole series of finger-pointing and accusations and blame for the water issues as opposed to sitting down and creating solutions. And once that finger-pointing escalated to an extreme point, what did we end up? We ended up in a big lawsuit between the owner of the golf course and the owner of the water services. So that is not the way to solve problems and create solutions. So now here we are, and you're absolutely right. It's not the time for finger-pointing or saying we could have done this or could have done that. There are things that could have been done, but they weren't, and here we are. Now we have to go forward and really sit everybody down, all of the stakeholders, whether it's the community members themselves, the charities, the PGA Tour, the sponsor Century, Troon, who manages the golf course, or any other entity that would be interested down the line to host an event, and say, what is the best way to solve this? We need to do it together, not in these, you know, not in a bunch of separate different meetings.
Yeah, yeah, and blaming each other just doesn't get us anywhere. And then the reactions from everywhere is like, oh, my God. We've got to get this together. I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about is the water pipe. It's not a pipe. It's like a flume, as we call them, the flumes that send the water down the mountainside. You know, the flume that serves the water to a lot of places, it just was not in good shape. And so it was losing some of its water off to the sides, and that was, you know, it's a big problem. So we need to fix that. That is, that's a good start.
We do. And that's going to cost millions and millions of dollars and take a long time.
Yeah,
exactly. Now that system is 100 years old. You know, and it's right there on the corner of the island where I live, so I know that system really quite well. And I think there is a long-term solution, and I think it will be fixed. But in the meantime, I mean, I could see that taking a year or more. And if that's the case, we have to come up with a solution short-term to be able to handle an event if we're interested in handling one down the line. Because if we let this thing go a couple of years or longer because we're fixing the ditch or trying to figure out how to fix the ditch or whatever, then I think we will be in trouble. So the time is now to try to create some alternative solutions to get us to the point where we can dig in and fix that ditch permanently.
That's awesome. Thank you. And Century Insurance, I just can't say enough about them. I mean, way back in, First Tee, youth development organization that teaches life skills and helps kids and teens build their strengths and their character through golf. And Century, one of the largest businesses-focused mutual insurance groups in the United States, they went into a partnership that furthers the First Tee mission. And that's the heart of Century. And when they said that our home, their home on Maui is the same as their home in Wisconsin, you know, they feel the same about Maui as they do about their home in Wisconsin. It's home. And that's the beauty of this company and having them working with us to get everything put together, that they've been so patient. And
yeah, let me end, Danielle, by telling you this. I talk to Stephanie Smith or Pete McParland, pretty much one of them, on an every other day basis, and have for the last month. And I can tell you this. Unequivocally, their attitude has not changed. Their commitment has not changed. Their love for our island, our community, our people has not changed. And that's their nature. That's the kind of people they are. They are good, solid Midwest people, and they're very, very loyal, and they are not going to bail on us, I can tell you that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with me. Have fun. Yes, have. I know it'll be so exciting being at Ryder Cup. I can't wait. It's just,
it'll be exciting, but it'll only be fun if the U.S. wins, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's fun to watch them. You know, I was thinking about asking you about gimmies. Maybe some other time, you know.
You got it.
Okay. Mark Rolfing, thank you so much. Aloha. We're going to come back right after this. Peter Hagan. Play away, please, the tale of the sale of golf's greatest icon. and the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box. He's been on the West Coast so much that he's been able to see the Pure Insurance Senior Tour Pro-Am, the Junior Ryder Cup, Asterix Tally next week, he'll be there, USJ Women's Mid-Am. It's just amazing. We're going to talk to him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Aloha Power. It's Aloha Power's week-long sale, and it's time to retire those big-box tools. Maruyama is on sale up to 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. You just got to go in and check it out. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from the home-size rider to the commercial-sized rider. You mow it, you blow it, and bag it, and you're done. Yeah, get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
You know, the PGA Tour is taking a break, getting ready for Ryder Cup next week, so nothing from the PGA Tour, but the Walmart Arkansas Championship presented by P&G, Stacey Lewis is competing this week, and she's retiring. 17 years she's been on tour. Her last win was 2020, but she is a 13-time winner, a two-time major championship winner, and she was the last 2 years she was Solheim Cup captain. She's got a huge heart. She's a wonderful person. At one point when Hurricane Harvey blew through, she wanted to donate all of her winnings to the people impacted by that hurricane. And today I was watching Golf Channel, and she was, the crowd was like right behind her, just like, yeah, you know, doing those, all the things crowds do. And she said she got so emotional she had to go back into the tent and kind of compose herself and come back out to take that crowd spirit and get it behind her all the way. She didn't say that. I added that. But it was really cool to see her so happy and doing so well. John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away Please, The Tale of the Sale of Golf's Greatest Icon. You can find him at jhagan, H-A-G-A-N, J-H-A-G-A-N, at playawayplease.com. He's a real estate developer, an architect, a member at Hazeltine, an apartment in Paris. He's got a few rounds under his belt at the Albatross, Le Golf National. You know, it's not fair. I want an apartment in Paris. How are you doing, John Peter Hagan? Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. Good morning. What an introduction. I'll tell you, you were talking to Mark, and you're talking about what I've done in my 85 years of living. But the thing that's fascinating, and the first time I've ever done it, is in the last 5 weeks, and one coming up, I have the opportunity to watch four decades of golfers, from the first tee people and their teens all the way up till the seniors and super seniors who are playing with kids this week at Pebble Beach. It's amazing.
Yeah, you're talking, first of all, let's start off with the first tee on Pebble and Spyglass. And those were
seniors,
right? And the first tee kids were, I think it was 80, paired up with the seniors, and they played the Pure Insurance Senior Tour Pro-Am with the first tiers.
That's right, and they do have a cut, and they do. In fact, last year, Ernie Els and his partner won the whole thing by his 16-year-old partner aced the 17th on Pebble and eagled the 18th.
Wow!
To get them the title. But the thing that was interesting is that Ernie was 4 under for the tournament on his own ball. She helped him 23 shots.
How old was she? 12?
She's 16 now. She was 15 last year.
Wow, isn't that something? I mean, they learned so much in that. What an impact first tee has on kids.
You're right. And the first tee kids here, we have a par 3 course on Pebble called Peter Hay, the Hay course, which has been redone by Tiger. And these pros are out there, these senior pros are out there with the kids, and they're having more fun than the kids are.
Yeah, it's kind of infectious being around children. you get to be more of a kid. So then there's the Junior Ryder Cup.
Next week, yes, that starts Tuesday, and they are playing it on two courses out on Long Island, the Bethpage Black, of course, and they're also using an adjacent course, the Nassau Country Club. And that's, that's juniors again. The number two girl in the world who is from California, last name is Asterix. Which is a Greek word for little gem.
Yeah.
How's that for a moniker?
Yeah, Asterix.
But her mother's Greek. But anyway, she's there. And Susie Whaley's the captain of the team.
That's a good captain.
That's a very good captain. And it looks like as with the Walker Cup 2 weeks ago, Cypress Point, looks like it's going to be an American route, I think.
We're always talking about the U.S. route. We have to be careful.
that's right. Yeah.
So the Walker Cup, the U.S. one, and I think Procore, PGA Tour, Scottie Scheffler won. Now we have the Pure Insurance Championship first tee at Pebble Beach. And are you there?
I am. I am here today, and as soon as we're off the air, I'm going to go walk with the kids and their pros, because it is fun to watch them, and they learn so much, and they just swallow up the knowledge and the behavior. You can tell it from the way the kids with the Walker Cup, of course, were all great, But these kids that are one generation younger have the same attitude. They look the same on the tee. They swing about the same. And the level of maturity that's developed in the world of golf is just something to behold.
Yeah, come to think of it, where is the Junior Ryder Cup being played?
Junior Ryder Cup?
Bethpage?
On the course that the real Ryder Cup's being played on.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, that's how it is. So,
yeah, Bethpage Black out in Long Island, New York.
So you won't actually be able to be there? Or are you going to fly?
I will. No, I won't be there. I won't be there. Let's
just put it that way.
Next comment.
I'm sorry we missed that. What was that again?
But, you know, we have the USGA coming up because we have the women's mid-am also here on the Monterey Peninsula at Monterey Peninsula Country Club in 2 weeks. And I think you're going to be talking to Christian Strout.
Yes.
Who was here for Walker Cup, because the foundation is doing some things that are parallel and in conjunction with First Tee, which is really exciting. And I think your listening audience is going to be happy to hear that.
So this is to be announced later information.
Yeah, well, it's out, but yes, I think. But I think somebody named Danielle Tucker is getting first go at it.
How sweet of you! Thank you so much. but is this like you were talking with me about the first time that you've seen and evaluated competitions back to back over 5 weeks?
That's right. Of 4 decades of golfers, you know, the First Tee people are youngish.
Yeah.
You know, barely in their teens.
Right.
The First Tee guys and gals that are playing this week are generally speaking 14 to 16. And then you've got the seniors who are up at Silverado, or their regular tour guys. They're all in their 20s or early 30s. And then the senior tour people who are here now, and some of them are well into their 60s.
And they're still playing golf.
They're still playing golf.
I love it.
And they're not using carts.
And they're walking.
Right.
Yeah. The U.S. Women's Mid-Amateur is one of 13 United States Golf Association national championships, first played in 1987. It provides amateur women over the age of 25 an opportunity to compete for a national championship. You have to have a handicap index of 9.4 or lower. So that, I'm out. Have you ever competed in golf? Seriously.
I have, but not at the national level. At a regional and local level. But I was always just a journeyman player, nothing of note, let's put it that way.
But tell me, what changed inside you when you were just playing golf and then playing golf on a, you know, more robust level?
Well, the first golf course I played on, the greens were sand and were covered with oil.
Oh.
I was in Minnesota. First golf course I was on, there were two people in the tournament. One was Sam Snead and the other was Ben Hogan.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was, I think it was called the Minnesota Open in the 1950s. And so the transition has been something, and as you know now, the golf courses are all, they all look like the best carpets in the world, and it's been interesting in 80 years to see what's happened.
Yes. Well, you got to go back just about two paragraphs. People who are young won't believe what you just said about the sand and the oil. Could you explain what you were saying?
The grass, if you will, was really nothing more than, it was a 9-hole golf course, and I think it was in Wilmer, Minnesota, and the farmers would go play on the weekend, and one of them would bring one of his pieces of equipment, and not, I'm not talking about a sophisticated mower by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of level things out, and they put down circles that were filled with sand, and they were oiled because the wind would blow the sand otherwise. So then when you finished putting out and you wiped off your shoes and your ball and your clubs because they all had oil on them, you laid down a little squirt bottle and you fixed all the oil spots, and then you went to the next hole.
No, what, isn't there a word? What is that, that describes? There's a word for that type of green, quote, you know. Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. Oilies or something? I don't.
I remember my dad said, he said, just hit it to the oil spot.
There they go. Hit it to the oil spot. You know, if there's a will, there's a way.
And that's right.
Yeah, if you want to play golf and you're in Minnesota and, you know, all you got is sand and some oil, fine, whatever. It works. Are you playing by the same rules?
They were pretty much the same. You know, if you were in a gopher hole or something, you know, you'd move it. But I don't know. I don't remember the first time. It must have been in college that I saw my first rule book.
Wow. Yeah. That's wonderful. And did you hear this week that, you know, our wonderful Stacey Lewis is retiring after 17 years?
Yeah, I did. The emotion, it just has to be something else. She's so emotional anyway and has done so much for golf and particularly women's golf.
But she hasn't won since 2020. So when I've heard that, I went, yeah, I can see that after 5 years of not winning and you've been on tour 17 years, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, we'll see her again somewhere, somehow. But she's just wonderful. And she, when the crowd was cheering for her, you know, and her, she was playing really well. And so they were all behind her, and she said she felt so emotional that she had to go back into the tent and kind of calm herself, right? You know, it's just...
Well, you're absolutely right. And plus, she sees the young kids now. There was a girl on the 18th hole at Pebble yesterday, practice round, who hit her drive 295. She hit a 2-iron from that famous tree. She was just past the tree on the right side, the only tree on the hole.
Mm-hmm.
She knocked a 2-iron on the green.
Oh,
sorry, Stacy.
John Peter Hagan, author, Play Away Please, The Tale of the Sale of Golf's Greatest Icon. And I can't wait because he's working on a trilogy starting with Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, the novel. Plus, he's finishing his second book for Random House, Pebble Beach and Other Fables.
Right.
Yes. John, thank you.
Thank you. Play well.
Play well, and we'll talk soon. Aloha.
Aloha.
Coming back, Claude Bruce, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Claude Rousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. He's author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, ranked number one, 2024-2025, best teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019. As a matter of fact, ranked number one teacher of the state, teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest, and it's just amazing how you do it, Claude. You're on the road and you're teaching, and then how was your trip to the mainland?
It was fantastic. Thank you very much for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely.
Yes, so I went to Montreal. I'm from Quebec, Canada, and I grew up a little bit outside of Montreal, and it was fantastic. I had the opportunity, because of a good friend of mine, André Malte, I was able to play the Royal Montreal, where they host the last Presidents Cup. It was fantastic.
Wow. That's cool. That is wonderful. You know, you can think of yourself as being in, you know, the President's Cup. And now for the putt that wins the... Yeah. But you are the Open de France. Is that being played right now? I think it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Danielle. And then something different this year, because right after the last edition, they closed the course because they have the line 18 of the Metro of Paris that will go there.
Yes.
So they had to close the course. Then, but it will be back there next year. Then this year, it's so they really affected the hole 4, 5, and 6. And then, you know, it's such a small world, the golf world, because the it's Tally Golf Design, with Russell Talley, that is responsible to redesign. And believe it or not, Danielle, I work with this guy to design the Short Game Golf Academy that I built with Jean-Claude Forestier in 2009. So it's kind of interesting just to see how golf is such a great lifestyle and open opportunity and all that. So just to tag along with your two previous guests, Firsty is a great organization, and for the people of Maui who wants to, we are partner with Firsty. In fact, the session will start in 10 minutes here at Wailea Golf Academy, so it's just fantastic. So the Open this year will be at Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche, and that course had host the French Open before, and three times. The first time was in 1965, then they did it on 69 and 82. And it's a place where they had very important tournament in the past. Like they had the Trophée Lancôme, that's a big tournament in Europe, from 1970 to 2003. And then they had the World Amateur Team Championship in 22. And they had, because the Ryder Cup is coming, so they had kind of a similar to the Presidents' Cup, if you want. Back then they called that the CV Trophy in honor of CV Ballesteros. So they did that 2009, 2011, and 2013. So it's a great course. In fact, they have two courses, and it's interesting. They will use, I think it's 11 holes from the red course, and they will use the rest of the holes from the blue course.
Well, what city is this nearby? Is it just about 25 kilometers from Paris?
Yes. It's just like, it's not a lot further than, let's say, the National is from, let's say, the center of Paris. Yeah, it's in Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche. That's the name of that little community. It's very close to Versailles.
Yeah.
So it's about 25 kilometers from downtown Paris, I will say.
Wow. That would be an awesome, trip. Fly to Paris, be able to play these tournaments, go to all of the sites in Paris. And then I'm just going to... Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche, so it's S-A-I-N-T, Saint, N-O-M, La, and then it's B-R-E-T-H-E-C-H-E. And that's
got it.
That's where that's the name of the golf course, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's the name of the golf. What does that mean in English?
Oh, but it's just the name of I don't know, it's just the name of the city. I don't know what it means in English. It will be like, calling, another city.
Okay.
I don't know I don't know if there is any specific, it's just an area. I don't know that.
Ah, okay. So but a lot of golf courses do that too. When they're doing a big event, they'll take, the blue course and then red course, and it comes together, and it's a little bit more challenging. So they're using 11 holes on the red, 7 holes on the blue, and that's for the Open de France. And I bet you want to be there. Are you going?
No, I'm not going that. I just came from Montreal, so I need to teach a little bit. But I have been at Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche during the CV Trophy for the 3 years they hosted. I was there 2009, 11, and 13. So, and I had good friends. Unfortunately, she passed at 31. She was a player on the European Ladies Tour. That was a member there, a good friend of mine. So, but I've been at Saint-Nom-la-Bretèche. Great place.
Great place.
Great.
Good.
Oh yes.
So if Claude Brousseau recommends it, it's a great place to go play some golf, enjoy Paris, and have a wonderful time. So speaking of having a wonderful time, if you're going to go play golf, and have a wonderful time, you need to have some quick tips on how to play better golf. And that's what Claude Brousseau is all about. And I love, what's the most important factor for distance, Claude?
It's making sure that you strike the ball in the middle of the club face. And unfortunately, Danielle, too many people, and then the second factor, I will just finish on that. So the most important one is striking the ball in the middle of the club face. The next one is speed, so the clubbed speed. So unfortunately, there's not enough golfers that are aware that the priority when they want to hit the ball further, they need to have better skill at striking in the middle of the club face. Now, there is a very easy way to check that. You don't need, because not everybody has a, let's say, a fly scope or a TrackMan or any quad or any device like that. the regular people like you and me who just play golf and your listener. But here's the solution. Just go at any pharmacy and buy Dr. Scholl's spray powder and just spray it in on the club face.
Oh, fabulous.
Then this way, Danielle, when the ball contact the club face, or the face contacting the ball, it will leave an imprint so you know where you hit on the club face.
That's perfect, because that's always the question. How do I know?
Yes, correct, Danielle. Yeah. And then when you provide yourself the correct feedback, you can improve faster.
Yeah.
That's the idea. It's interesting. I had a gentleman yesterday. He says, he's 64, but he says, just for my fun in life, I would like to hit the ball 300 yards. I said, well, that's good. But and then I asked him, what is the most important factor? And then he didn't know it. So golfer will work on the wrong thing, I call that. You know, we need to work on first hitting the middle of the club face with every club.
All right, so see, just remember that, and go out to get your Dr. Scholl's spray powder for your club face so you know exactly where that ball hit. Now, the problem is some people don't know what they've done wrong, that they can't get to the club face.
Correct, Danielle. But it always starts with good fundamentals, so you need to make sure that your ball position is where it's supposed to be. Your body should be in an athletic posture. You need to hold the club efficiently. And it's a good thing to aim to a target also, because golf is a target game.
Good point. Just don't hit it any old where. Now, you know, for a lot of folks who may be listening, that you can take one or two lessons with a teacher. You don't have to take 10.
That's correct, Danielle. That's correct. And then all the good coaches will tell you, okay, you need to at least take one lesson. Then see if the communication between the coach and you makes sense, and then it has to be simple. And then you need to have time to integrate the concept or the new skill you want to have before you take the next one. So it's a teamwork, Danielle. It's I often use, let's say you want to build muscle. You will go at the gym. You will have a personal trainer. Okay, your bicep won't get big in 1 hour. It's a process. So take lesson, go and integrate that, because the golfer has to own the information in their body and mind. Then just take another one on other aspects of the game, because the game is very counterintuitive. And most of the time, golfer wants to, they all want to improve, but they work on the wrong thing to improve faster.
Counterintuitive. You've said that before, and I thought, we should really explain that.
Okay, let me explain it. Thank you. You know I love to do that, Danielle. So, as an example, the most counterintuitive thing is golfer, most of them attempt to go underneath the ball. This is totally non-functional. You see, then when I say it's counterintuitive, the golfer brains is telling them, I need to go underneath the ball. So they move the club in a fashion, we call that scooping, to lift the ball. That doesn't work. But the brain says, I need to go underneath. Now, how you correct that? The club has to travel down on the ball, not underneath. As an example, if we use another sport, Danielle, how often, if you play tennis, that you want to go underneath the ball? Zero, because the ball will go straight up in the air, will never go on the other side of the net. So I'm using analogy or image like this. Like if you play soccer, Danielle, would you ever think going underneath that ball on the ground?
No.
Of course not. You will break your ankle and the ball will not get airborne. So the golf, that's what I mean, counterintuitive, is one example with that. You do not want to go underneath the ball. You want to go on the ball.
Okay, so if I want to make a divot, you know, like those really cool things that guys can do when they're really good mm-hmm. at this game. So that's where you go down onto, you go down to the earth, but in the process of taking that club into the earth, you're hitting the ball at the same time. But it's not, it's different.
Yes. Let me explain, Danielle. Here's the line. You want to strike the little ball, the white ball, and then the big ball, the earth, on the target side of the ball. The divot do not start at the ball. It start, I would call that, on the target side of the ball. Let's say in front of the ball, because the lowest point in the swing, Danielle, we're talking irons here, obviously. We're not talking driver. So with the irons, the hybrid, the lowest point in the arc of the swing will happen in front of the ball, meaning on the target side of the ball. If you were a right-handed player, that will be on the left side of your body.
Okay. So, you know that you just confused a bunch of people. Because
oh, sorry. That was not the goal.
So, when I bring that club down...
Yes.
I should be on the... What side of the ball?
Okay. Sorry, Danielle. Let me be more clear. I'm talking about the club coming... Let's say you got your normal address position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking only about how the club traveled to the ball.
Yes.
We're talking about the club coming downward.
Yes.
On the back of the ball.
Yes.
So we... Okay.
Yes.
Then after that... The club is not done traveling down after when it strike the ball.
Yes, yes.
The club will hit the ground on the target side of the ball.
Yeah, and that's how you get those fabulous divots, which you have
Correct.
To place.
Yes, yes.
Yes, you have to pick it up and put it back down, and then it'll grow back together again.
Yes, or here in Hawaii we use sand, you know, in the golf cart that you use, there is a bottle of sand. You just put sand.
Where the grass came out.
Do
they go back in, do the superintendent or the guys who are working on the course, do they go and do anything special to those holes that we've made?
Most of the places, yes, they may have a team, especially on the tee box first, they will re-sand. We use the sand because the divot, let's say the piece of grass that is flying are not growing back here.
Okay.
We put sand instead. And yes, the maintenance will do that.
Thank you. Another quick tip to play better
yes.
golf would be the most important factor for distance is contacting the ball in the middle of the club face.
Yes, it is.
Okay. How do I do that?
Well, that's a that's a good question, Danielle, to explain on the radio.
I know.
Best way to do that, Danielle, is get a golf coach and he will explain to you
okay.
how to do it. So,
okay.
But to answer your question rapidly, Danielle, it's the club has to travel on a downward path on the ball. And then you control the club face, in the club its face, with your hands and wrists. So you need to know how to get your hands and wrists in the correct position when the club contact the ball.
Perfect. And don't forget your Scholes, Dr. Scholes.
Correct.
Put your spray powder on there before you do all that. You'll see. Now,
yeah.
Avoidance of three putts is actually where I wanted to go, but I
okay.
made a mistake.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you. You were talking about Ricky Fowler and avoiding three putts. Give us a little
yes,
bit more. How do we do that? Avoid
okay.
them.
Yes, yes. So why it's important to avoid three putts? Because the fastest way to decrease your score is not doing three putts. Okay?
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you some numbers there because the players and the people who listen to us right now, if they were better at not doing three putts, let's say if you're a handicap of 15, you will make more than three putts per round.
Wow.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Then the skill to get better at three putts, I will get to that, it's very easy to train on that, and then you can train in your place with that, with a putting mat at the facility as well. But let's go just to give an idea of the people listening now. Okay, Ricky Fowler did only three putts 20 times while he played 1,386 holes.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's incredible.
Yes. It's incredible. Then, so the people listening right now, they can get really good at not doing three putts if they practice it, okay? So how would you practice it?
Yes.
Just to give you another stat, it's interesting. The average PGA Tour player will make three putt only once every two rounds.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite different than the handicap players of 15 that make three per round. Okay. All right. So now, Danielle, how that the listener can get better?
Yes.
It's, let's say, when you train on your lag putt distance, do not practice with a hole. Why? Because the further you are from the hole, the less chance you have to make the putt, and then you will think you're not good. So here's my recommendation. Put a bottle of water on the green somewhere. So then put some balls, let's say, at 10, 15, 20, 30 feet, and then do a practice swing, keeping your eyes on the bottle of water. Then do the putt looking at the ball and see how close that ball can stop to that bottle of water.
Oh, interesting.
Okay?
Yes.
Then to get the next level to that is do few putts while you're putting, Danielle. Your eyes will keep your eyes on the bottle of water. So your visual system will command your muscular system to know how big the stroke needs to be. So that will be for lag putt.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, quick, because I'm sure we're running out of time soon. So for the three-footer now, you need to be really, really, really good at three-footer, because just to give you an example on that, I almost fell off my chair when I read this one, okay? Get good at 3 feet. From 2004 to 2006, Tiger Woods had 1,466 attempts of putting from 3 feet. Do you know how many he missed?
I only know because you told me. But, you know.
Three
times.
Three out of 1,500. Let's round up. This is amazing. And then
yes.
Brendan Todd on the tour at 24
yes.
was 100%. Eight players on the tour. Conan Marikawa was one of them.
Uh-huh.
Eight players on the tour, Danielle, were 100%. Success from 3 feet.
It's amazing.
Think about that.
Yeah, I know.
So, but your listener can be maybe not at that level, but think of how complicated it is to move the putter for the ball to go only 3 feet.
Yeah,
not that complicated.
No.
So how would you practice? Quick. So what you do, you find a straight uphill putt at your course, okay,
uh-huh.
3 feet. Then from there, put a marker on the ground, let's say, like if you were marking your ball, straight putt, 3 feet. Let's see if you, and do your routine, and see if you can make 10 in a row. That will help you to get good at 3 feet. Then, to the next level, to be more like playing golf, let's say you have 9 attempts of 3 feet when you play. So put 9 balls on clockwise around the hole, only 3 feet. Then go and do one ball, next ball, next ball, next ball, and see how many you will make in out of 9.
Awesome.
If you want to add pressure, you start, because when we play, it's real. So when you will start, let's say, the first ball, it goes in the hole, you keep going. Second go in the hole, you keep going. You miss the third one, you have to start at the first
over
ball.
Over again.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We are KORL, Y&I, Honolulu. Claude Rousseau, you always come up with the most interesting ideas, easy ideas to improve our game, and I really appreciate the time you spend with us. Claude Rousseau is a PGA Master Professional. He is Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, at the Wailea Golf Club on Maui. As he says, go take a lesson. One lesson, just start. Thank you, Claude.
Thank you, Danielle, for the privilege to be on your show. Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
And we are looking at heading over to Aloha Power Equipment. It's in Waipahu, just off Farrington Highway. So as you're going eastbound, because you're going to go west going from Honolulu, but you've got to turn around, you'll see Aloha Power because they've got this fabulous sign at the corner of Waipahu Depot Street. It's right at Farrington Highway and Waipahu Depot Street. And you'll see them right there. Or if you're in town, just go Costco. You'll see them. You know, they've got their own store, of course. But their sign tells them, you know, there, Aloha Power Equipment. And they've got the week-long sale going on, so you've got a week to get in there. Go early. You know, is it time to retire those big-box tools? Because Maruyama's on sale, 25% off. Riding and walking mowers, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. And we have service and parts and accessories for every rider, whether it's one of the home-size riders or the commercial-sized. Mow it, blow it, bag it, done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evie Lane, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repair. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Wow. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider, home-based in Beverly Hills. He's a radio talk show host. He's an author. He's a travel writer. He's host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning, syndicated, a rare bipartisan talk show. He's heard on 12 Michigan radio stations, and he's also known for his excellent books. He's written books with Larry King, Arthur Hills, Ben Wright, Donald Trump. He writes for USA Today, The Cigar Aficionado, Golf Magazine, and dozens of other media. You know, I could go for, you know, 20 minutes. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick Shields.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to hear your voice from just across the Pacific here along California's famous Highway 1, the Pacific Coast Highway, which conjures up visions of beautiful scenery, and it should because it is a beautiful drive, and that's where I am in the sweet spot of it all right now.
Wow, and are you on your way to your what is the destination you're headed for?
Believe it or not, this is the destination. If you were to go, Danielle, midway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, you would come to a place called San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah.
And you could fly there even. They call it the Slow Coast, not you're not necessarily because it's not exciting, but, you know, the pace is slower, and that's awfully nice, but it's because the airport designation is SLO, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean if you can't fly there, if you're coming from Hawaii and you choose to fly to LAX, you can count on about a four-hour drive to get you to the very north end of the region that we're talking about right now. And it is a delicious wine region with lots to do, lots to taste, and lots to see.
And lots to drink, not just taste.
Yeah, right on. And these wineries are fantastic. Sometimes if you go to Napa, you say, oh, my gosh, I can't get an appointment for a tasting, or the tastings are very expensive. And then what else is there to do? Because you have varied tastes. And this destination answers it all. It stretches, say, from San Simeon to the north, down through Cambria. You know what's in San Simeon, because even if you've never been there, you've dreamed of going to the Hearst Castle.
Yes.
And it's one of the things that you can spend a half a day or even just an hour doing if you really want to. And you'd be surprised. I mean, it kind of looks like your house. There are hundreds of bedrooms and giant swimming pools and grand artwork. And it looks like a giant Spanish church. It's an American castle for sure.
Hearst
and
Castle
a part of our
amazing history.
Yep.
Well, you just stop for a second. There's the Egyptian pool, and then there's another pool. You know, they're all in these different styles, and it's just, you know, it kind of blows the mind that all of these different ingredients were thrown together and it turns into a castle. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, if you were going to a swank party overlooking the Pacific there, and you can look all the way down to the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Not only that, he had his own zoo, William Randolph Hearst.
That's right.
And while the animals are gone, there are some animals that stayed, and they're called zebras. And the zebras that you see running all around on the giant ranch, on the giant property, are descendants of the original zebras that were brought here. A very fanciful fella, obviously, who spent what is $700 million in 26 years to build the castle. And in today's money, God knows what that would be. But he built it way up on top of the hill, too. So it's quite an achievement and a piece of art.
Yes, it's amazing. If you get a chance to go, go, because it really is. I heard the story about the bison got out and, you know, everybody killed each other.
Well, hey, what happens at Hearst Castle doesn't always stay there. And you're not going to be staying there either. You're going to be staying at a place more likely down the road where I stayed, Ocean Point Ranch, which was a beautiful little quaint kind of place where you pull up and say, oh, this is going to be easy. They have fire pits outside, and you can walk right across the lane and sit right on the ocean and watch the waves smash up against the rocks.
Oh, it is so cool.
Beautiful, cool, calm spot. And then if you want to get into that ocean, you just go down to Avila Beach where they have whale watching tours. I know in Hawaii you have those too.
Yeah.
But I checked it out anyway, and I couldn't believe it. I was surrounded by sea lions and whales and dolphins and, you know, the person who guides the tour makes it special. In our case, it was a guy called Captain Frank, and he was so excited. You know, it's like a Broadway show. He's taking people out three times a day. But he was so excited to be able to give us an opportunity to be close to those whales. And it is quite a sight, to be sure.
Get to feed them?
No, he said you can't touch them. But he did say, Danielle, that there were two women who came, and they got so excited they jumped in. And he said, I think they had too many mimosas, and they had to be fished out. It was from the other captain that owns the operation. And so don't jump in, because there are great white sharks in there, too. I mean, this is the Pacific off California, not off Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, very cold over there. The sharks like cold. Yes, of course. So is this near the town of Orcutt?
That's to the south in another region that you'll find interesting, too. It's kind of the next region down, which is all part of your trip if you want it to be, the Santa Maria Valley.
Okay.
And there are the wineries there, like the one we went to called Presque Isle. And this was founded by a guy called Madison Murphy, who lost his gathering house, is what he called it, which was down in the south there in Mississippi to Hurricane Katrina.
Oh.
And he said to his wife, Suzanne, why don't we build a winery instead? So they found land They were oil people. They found a land in the Santa Maria Valley, and they built just a triumph of a winery, and it's absolutely astonishing and beautiful, and the scenery all the way down to the sea made the wines nice and the scenery nice. So if you get to go there, I definitely would do it. I had such a nice time there, and you don't want to get eaten by a shark, but if you want to eat, we went to a restaurant called Sea Chest, and I knew you'd get a kick out of this because they take no credit cards, they take no reservations, and it's right on the sea. This is back up in Cambria.
Okay.
And it's been there a long time, 30 years, but the man who owns it now started as a busser, and now he's a community leader and the owner of the place.
That's cool.
And outside there's a plaque, because they don't take reservations, that said, you know, I forget his name, but this man set the record arriving early to wait for his bar stool. He got here 13 hours early so that when we opened, he could be on his stool. And you might say, wow, 13 hours, that's a guy who's dedicated. But look down, there's another plaque. Someone came the day before and spent the night.
Oh.
And then someone came, and it got out of hand until finally they put a big plaque that said, the contest ended when Joe Smith got here 5 days early and put a stop to it all. So thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's dedication there. Wow-wee. So that's called the Sea Chest, and a super good spot. And by the way, down there, of course, in the Santa Maria Valley, if you've ever heard of Santa Maria Seasoning and the Red Oak Flame Barbecue, they are trying to rival Texas and trying to rival other parts of the country where they have, you know, known for their barbecue, and they do it in fine fashion. The Hitching Post is the name of the restaurant there that's been very famous for decades for to sample that kind of cuisine.
You know, I was trying to keep up with your travel, which is very difficult. Michael Patrick Shields is on the road all the time. That's why I like him on the air with me, because he can tell us where the cool places are to go, you know, just to California. Did you go to the Naughty Oak Brewing Company yet?
Probably. And if it wasn't naughty when I got there, it probably was when I left.
Thank you.
And, you know. But that was a good one, too. The Winestone Inn was the hotel that was down in the Santa Maria Valley in the town that you mentioned.
Oh.
I didn't know, speaking of beer and naughty,
uh-huh.
You know, when you think of the Clydesdales, what do you think of?
Horses and horses.
Budweiser is what you think of.
Evil.
Here comes the king, here comes the big number one, and they even played football in a Super Bowl ad. You remember?
Yes. Oh, no, no.
That.
All I think about is the horses.
Oh, well, then this is the place for you, the Covell Clydesdale Ranch.
Yes.
You can go and ride the Clydesdale.
Oh, God, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
Oh,
2,000-pound horses, and it's gentle for people who, you know, are maybe nervous about it, because they move more like semi-trucks than race cars.
Correct. Yes.
And it's a nice comforting ride up with a view of the sea. And
oh, my God.
So you see, it's quite diverse. I mean, they took me to a loofah farm.
Oh, a loofah.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Wait a
minute. Grow them in greenhouses, and the ones you get here don't have to go through the fumigation when they come from outside the country. So they're more organic. And I didn't know that people eat loofah.
What?
You know, before they become a loofah, they're more like a cucumber. And I did not know that. And they let them dry out. And if you don't eat it, they let them dry out and they become loofahs. Who knew?
Yeah, and then they become loofahs. And they last forever. Have you? If you have a loofah, you know, it's like, are you ever going to deteriorate? Nope. Uh-uh. I'm going to be in your bathroom forever. So you went.
Jean, the lady said I could put it in the dishwasher if I wanted to.
There you go.
You know what a kind of thing that a bachelor does.
And apparently it's okay. So let's.
No.
What about Santa Maria? Did you start Lompoc? I've never thought of going to Lompoc.
Not on purpose, anyway. Is that a figurative thing you just said or a literal thing? I don't know. We'll leave it to the imagination.
You know, you sent me an itinerary. I figured, you know, I should bring all this information to the table. La Purisima Mission Historic State Park. And it's in Lompoc, California. I thought, wow, I thought there was a jail there, but I didn't. But anyway.
They do have these trails. This is in Santa Maria Valley. There's a park and a trail where you walk on a boardwalk through these wetlands,
uh-huh.
and then you get to dunes, and it's like you're on the moon.
Wow.
You get through the dunes, and you're at the unspoiled beach where you don't see another soul. It's totally natural. And we are told by the sign that there could be mountain lions out there, although it's rare, they say. And what do you know? We saw big old paw prints of a mountain lion in the dunes next to the boardwalk. So, you know, a little bit of creative excitement there and a little bit of nature.
Wow. And it's just so much fun. Now, how are you traveling up the coast?
Well, that's the thing. If you fly to San Luis Obispo, you can go in this giant range of places that I just mentioned and
right.
I'll be writing about in my columns. Very centrally. So for it'll be, you know, 1 hour from the top end and then an hour to the bottom end. And so you can make a big week of it if you wanted to. There's plenty to do and plenty to taste and plenty to see. There's a fully female-operated winery called Cambria.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very, very sweet, too. And they use peregrine falcons to chase away the sparrows that might eat the grapes.
Wow.
You know, they're in the crush right now. If you're in the wine business, you know this is when the fruit's being harvested, and that peregrine falcon is the fastest animal on the planet, so no match for a sparrow or a swallow, and so that's how they protect the grapes. They have a falconer who comes in and brings them in and trains them, and, you know, these are the things. If you're really committed to wine and you're interested to know about it, that is the place.
That's fascinating. Incredible.
Maybe they could train one of those peregrine falcons to follow you on a golf course and find your ball for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Pointing out the obvious. Yes, Danielle needs a falcon to find a ball.
At least I didn't say buzzard.
You're right. But that was so much fun. Gosh, you know, you go on the most. Where's your next adventure to?
London, Venice, Verona, and Milan, all
no.
in a matter of 10 days.
Oh, yo.
Come with me.
Yo, I want to go now.
You should. It's Red Carnation Hotels in London and the beautiful Londra Palace in Venice,
okay.
and then we go down to the NH Hotel in Milan. So if I find you at those places, I won't be surprised.
Oh, good. Thank you, Michael Patrick Shields. Where can we find you? Where's the best place to go? You know, the A position travel?
I'd say goworldtravel.com or just Google my name and I'll show up in the Gannett newspapers and traveltattler.org.
Travel.
Find me. I'm findable.
You're...
Come on and find me and tell me your stories.
There. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider. His home base, after all, is, yes, indeed, Beverly Hills. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Mahalo. Clayton Kershaw's last start tonight on the hill at Dodger Stadium. Go Blue.
Go. Aloha. All right. We want to welcome the Newtown Driving Range. You know, there's no place like home, and it feels like that. You want to warm up before your round or wind down after work. And the Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Group, you know, you just feel like you can do it there. Good golf, good food, good fun. It's Aloha Power's week-long celebration. Work smarter, faster, easier, and then you can kick back and think about that glass of wine. They've got a riding mower. You know, whatever you need is at Aloha Power. They're riding mowers, they're walking mowers, they're chainsaws, whackers. So much more. Maruyama is still on sale. 25% off, folks. It doesn't happen very often. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment, open Monday through Saturday at Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu, just down by Waipahu Depot Street. The Aloha section, PGA, teach your children to play golf. Get them into first tee. It's the gift that lasts forever. They'll always be comfortable when people say, hey, you want to join us on the course? You got it. They'll know exactly. For self, health, friendship, family, and some business. Go golf. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea, Maui, and the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. They can't find you without a sign. Remember, I keep saying that. You got to put a sign up. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.